Hi, I'm Jeff Franke, Editorial Director of Manufacturing.net and Manufacturing Business Technology. Welcome to Security Breach. The industrial sector knows all too well about the need to innovate product offerings and production strategies in order to stay ahead of the competition. Unfortunately, the same can be said for cyber criminals looking to either steal information or hold your data, manufacturing capabilities, or intellectual property for ransom. Just as you continue to develop new strategies to respond to hacks and protect your digital presence, these bad actors are continuing to update and enhance their schemes in order to improve the success rate of their attacks. In an effort to help counter these bad actors and stay a step ahead, NetScout Systems recently unveiled their biannual Threat Intelligence Report. It offers insight on the continued threats presented by distributed denial of service and ransomware attacks. To help walk us through the report and offer additional insight on some of the new tactics being utilized to carry out these legacy cybersecurity attacks is NetScout's Threat Intelligence Lead, Richard Hummel. The U.S. industrial sector in particular has had to deal with ransomware on a great volume, especially since the start of the pandemic. You mentioned the pipeline. There's been a number of other high-profile ransomware attacks as well. In the report, you guys mentioned some folks like Evaden, Reveal, Black Cat. What can you tell us about some of these new ransomware players, what their tactics are, and how are they sort of evolving?
So the reality is most ransomware operators function very, very similarly. Most of them have moved to this ransomware as a service operations. And so you'll have the ransomware coders and they will offer their ransomware, but they don't actually do the illegal stuff, right? And so they will have this infrastructure in place and they'll outsource that. Or if you want to be an affiliate of their program, look, you're going to buy their ransomware code, but then you got to figure out your own infrastructure. Oh, and by the way, if you want to actually send out spam messages, you're going to have to take care of that as well. And so they've basically deconstructed this to be a corporate business, really, right? Cyber criminal business, an underground criminal organization. And now if a takedown happens, it's almost always against the operator because the operator is the one that's actually doing the illegal stuff. The person who coded the ransomware, they didn't do anything wrong, right? They just created this piece of code. It's how you employ that piece of code. And so we have all of these takedowns and they're awesome. In fact, the our evil one that you just mentioned, there was a takedown there. And as far as we can tell, our evil in and of itself has not come back. However, right around the time of the our evil takedown, this Black Cat one comes out. Is it a rebrand? Is it the same adversaries? You know, it's anybody's guess. And oftentimes we'll see these criminals come back in rebrand, new tactics. Maybe they'll use different providers, different infrastructure. Maybe they'll change the code of the ransomware a little bit, add new logos, whatever it might be, right? We've seen any number of flavor of these things, but they all pretty much are the same thing. They get in by tried and true methods that have been ongoing for many, many, many years. Lockbit 2.0, which is a really big one right now, gets in via brute forcing. They use RDP credentials to be able to get in. Whether those are purchase credentials or they're brute forcing with like rainbow tables and just trying to do default guesses. You have all of these other ones that are spam distributed. You have some distributed by things like Bazaar Loader, which also distributes banking malware. And so almost always it's the same kinds of things. It's brute forcing, it's exploitation of things that haven't been patched, and then it's taking advantage of the weakest link in any security posture, which is what? The human. Because we are a lot more susceptible to click on something when it comes to our email. And adversaries have realized this, and they have since gotten really, really, really good about crafting spam messages that looked legitimate. And so I like to use this term called opportunistic targeting. And it's kind of a conundrum, right? Because how is it an opportunity, but it's also targeting. And what I mean here is, let's just say there's a breach. OPM is a big one. I don't know about you, but my social security number was in the OPM breach, unfortunately. But adversaries can take that list, some 250,000 people. They have all their email addresses. They have their addresses. They have their phone numbers, social security numbers, and other PII. So now what they can do is they can take that whole list and they can send you a personalized email saying, hey, we found your social security number in this breach. If you want to be secure against this or you want identity theft monitoring, click here or download this file or download this file to see what we captured in that breach. And so they've gotten to the point now where you almost cannot distinguish what they're sending from something that was a legitimate notification. And so unless you have the wherewithal to be able to expand that email header and see what route it took and the actual email address that it came from and all these things, which, I mean, let's face it, most people don't. In fact, I was just trying to do this in my Yahoo the other day, and Yahoo's not making it any easier. Like, I can't even right click and expand anymore. I have to like actually download it and then view the source. And so it's a difficult thing to do. And adversaries have learned this.
Yeah. It's incredible. The evolution of this entity, the cyber criminal, if you will, it's an organization. And now they're even going so far as to rebrand themselves as they advance and improve their tactics, I guess. So it's crazy. You know, we've talked a lot about the bad guys. Let's talk about one of the good guys. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about what NetScout does, the people you're working with, and some of the services you offer.
Yeah. So the main thing here to think about NetScout is we like to call ourselves guardians of the connected world. Because as a company, we focus on service assurance. We want to make sure you have an always up posture on the internet. We want service providers to always offer that internet connection to their consumers. We want enterprises to always be able to conduct their business. And so the primary attack that essentially gets rid of that is DDoS, because the whole purpose of that attack is to deny access services to the internet. The same is true for ransomware in some cases on the host. So a lot of what we do here focuses on how do we stop the DDoS attack? How do we recognize it? What do we need to be able to do? All of these different attack vectors. And my team specifically focuses on the R&D aspect of this. We're constantly trying to discover new vectors, new way adversaries are going after organizations. Even if it's an existing DDoS attack vector, are they using it in a different way? SIP is a really good one. There's lots of different ways to abuse the SIP protocol, which is inherent in many of the VoIP providers that we were talking about earlier. There's different ways to tease and mess around with DNS servers to amplify traffic. What are those methods? How do adversaries engage in those? And how can we best defend against those?
Yeah, you bring up a lot of great points just in going through your offerings there. Richard, in the industrial sector, the majority of our readers work for companies that are probably about 100 or less people. So they're smaller companies. And I think a lot of times when they look at cybersecurity, it's a difficult topic. There's not a lot of expertise in-house, and they're looking for almost an off-the-shelf type of offering versus more customizable, which is kind of what you seem to be talking about there. Could you maybe discuss a little bit of the thought process or the strategies in terms of just trying to do something off the shelf and plug it in versus doing something a little bit more customized according to your business and where its weak points might be?
Yeah, the reality is for DDoS, there's a solution right size for every organization. And even more and more at NetScout here, we're moving to kind of a software only type positioning. And we have Arbor Cloud, which is a cloud only offering. We have managed services if you don't have your own in-house team. Having an on-prem solution is obviously the most flexible. It's going to be the best protection because it's going to be able to detect things in real time immediately. Whereas if you're offloading to the cloud, you might have a small delay. Well, what is your risk posture as an organization? Like, you might be a small organization, but maybe you're dealing with critical infrastructure, or maybe you're dealing with really high volumes of traffic, and any kind of lag time whatsoever could be detrimental to you, your customers, whatever service you're providing. So you really got to think about it from a risk-based perspective. Do I have any risk tolerance whatsoever for downtime? If the answer is no, you're probably looking at doing an on-prem solution. If you're okay going down for a few seconds here or there, or you're waiting for an uptime or a signal to hit the cloud, then maybe a cloud solution is right for you. Or maybe you have the funds to be able to do a more comprehensive solution, but you don't want your own in-house security team. Well, then the managed service might be the way to go. So there's any number of solutions here for any size organization.
Okay. Not to take too much away from the report, because you talk about trends and different things that are ongoing there. But in your opinion, when you look at what's going on right now from a cybersecurity perspective, are there one or two things that you think could really have the biggest impact, or we're going to be hearing about the most over the next 12 to 18 months?
I think the one thing that I would say from a DDoS perspective to keep in mind is this, what I talked about with these botnets, right? Is the DDoS botnets are getting a lot harder to stop. They're getting more powerful, and they're going to continue to get more powerful. And let me just kind of break this down for you. So up until about 2018, 2016, 2018, actually, you know what? Let's go all the way back to 2013. Since 2013 to basically present, it's been IoT botnets. In IoT botnets, there's lots of bots out there. They're really easy to compromise, but where do they sit? Most of these IoT botnets, they sit inside residential networks. They sit behind home routers, firewalls, whatever, that may or may not have a lot of bandwidth throughput capabilities. What happens when you take all of those IoT devices and put them on a 5G network that has virtually unlimited bandwidth throughput capabilities? We're talking about an exponential increase in the potency of what adversaries can do. Now, also what happens when instead of going after IoT devices, you have adversaries going after high-powered routers or servers and data centers. Now you're talking about they have not only the bandwidth, they also have the processing capabilities to be able to launch these really potent attacks. All of that has happened. 5G is rolling out. There's been a 32% increase in wireless networks being targeted over the second half of 2021. You have Maris and Devenis compromising MikroTik routers that sit in high-powered bandwidth throughput environments to be able to launch really fast attacks. In fact, many people would know Krebs on security website going down. He blogged about this, the Maris botnet using HTTP pipelining with MikroTik routers to be able to take his website down. You also have Git Mirai, which is essentially a Mirai code branch that uses a GitLab exploitation to be able to compromise Git servers sitting in data centers. So now you're able to launch this really fast attack. So all of that coupled together paints this kind of scary picture of where we're going. And I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out, what is 5G? How do we defend 5G? How do we even roll it out? And so there's a lot of questions here. And I think it's going to be a very big question mark going into the next year. And even following that, as we continue to roll these things out and figure out just how do we do this 5G thing?
Absolutely. Richard, this has been fantastic. A lot of great information here that we can, a lot of takeaway value. Absolutely. For more information on the work that NetScout does, you can go to their website, netscout.com, and to take a look at that report that we keep talking about. That's netscout.com/threat report. Richard, again, thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks so much, Jeff. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today. To catch up on past episodes, you can go to manufacturing.net, IEN.com, or MBTMag.com. For Richard Hummel, I'm Jeff Ranke, and this is Security Breach.